I like that. Good morning, everybody. Good to see you all. It's a lovely day. Well, I've got the privilege today of continuing with Psalm 23. That's been our study through August, and concluding the psalm. But hasn't it been good this month following Psalm 23? And it's reminded me how much I love sheep. And we've been away this week, so we've been away for a few days, and I just love going through the countryside and seeing sheep on the hills. And so did our granddaughter. She was counting them all, counting the sheep. And sheep and shepherds are mentioned in the Bible. They're referred to quite a lot of times. In fact, 500 times in all, more than any other animal. So I think there's a lot for us to learn. And obviously, sheep, farming, it was all part of the culture of that day, and not particularly our culture when we're townies anyway. But it's, you know, watching TV programmes. I don't know whether any of you are like me and Mark. We love watching all the farming programmes. And I've learned a lot about sheep, shepherds, farmers in the last couple of years. That has just amazed me what farmers, what shepherds actually do for their sheep. And obviously that analogy we've got of God being our shepherd is just incredible. You know, even as far as being a midwife, they have to deliver the sheep sometimes and help the sheep when they're in distress, when they're in lambing season. Now, Psalm 23 was the very first verse, Bible verse I learned when I was a child in Sunday school. And I've even got a certificate at home to prove it. I was very, very chuffed with myself. I learned all six verses. But obviously, as a child, didn't really understand the full meaning of it all. I just learned it off by rote. And then over the years, little bits of that psalm that you sort of took away have come back to me. But I think this month, just listening to everybody share, and I'm just going to summarise in a minute, it's made me realise how important this psalm is for all of us. It's a psalm that just encapsulates everything we need for our life. You know, the highs and the lows, the day to day, and thanking God for his blessings. So I've put here, so let me encourage you to learn it. Some of you will know it. And it's a psalm that people who aren't Christians know, isn't it? It's read at funerals and in other places. And so it's quite a very popular psalm. But it's not just about learning the lines, learning the verses. It's about living them and having them in your heart there. So to summarise then. So verse 1 and 2 was... It was Sue that was talking about these two verses. The Lord is my shepherd. Says, I shall not want, or I lack nothing, or I have everything I need. The shepherd, Sue reminded us that the shepherd provides everything we need. He's there to protect, to care, and to guide. And she mentioned about him showing... For the sheep not to worry about where the next green pasture is. He's got it all in control. And it sort of made me realise that sometimes we want to go off to a green pasture that's over there or over there, and it's not always the right green pasture for us. We should be led by him. And then Lisa looked at verse 3, and she talked about how Jesus refreshes our soul as we seek him each day. And he can replace our worry and anxieties with peace and calm. And we all need some of that, don't we, in this world. And then she reminded us about the wolves that can come and take the sheep, and how the shepherd has to protect them from the wolves. And then reminded us of the wolves that can be in our life that can seek to distract and destroy us. Negativity, discouragement, lies, can be relationships, social media, etc. Lisa went in to talk about that. And then last week, Mark looked at verse 4, the valley of the shadow of death. And I think one reason Psalm 23 is so powerful, because it speaks honestly about the green pastures and the valleys. And we have peaceful seasons in our life, don't we, when everything's lovely and calm and going so well. But we also have difficult and tough seasons, and those stormy seasons when we feel like we're in the valleys and we can't get out. But throughout every verse, one truth remains constant, that God is with us. So whether you're walking through uncertainty, fear, exhaustion, loneliness, or simply longing for deeper peace, Psalm 23 reminds us that the shepherd never leaves his sheep. And sometimes we need that reminder more than anything else. And then if you can cast your mind back to week one, first of all, first week in August, Katie Ann looked at verse 5 about God preparing a table in the presence of our enemies. I think it's a slide before, Jed, sorry. Jed's trying to follow me. Sorry, Jed. Preparing a table for us in the presence of our enemies. And do you remember we shared communion together and we had two tables here at the front? We had a table with a feast of goodies on. And Katie Ann reminded us of the well-known tactics of the enemy that distract us from the table that God has prepared for us. God doesn't remove the enemies. He prepares a table. The enemies are still there, but they no longer get our attention. And communion is choosing to look at Jesus instead of fear, anxiety, temptation, shame. So we're on slide 6 now, Jed, sorry. In the Bible, Jesus refers to himself as the Good Shepherd. And in John 14, at 10, verse 14, he says, I am the Good Shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I'm known by my own. And if you remember, I think that was back in week one in August, we had our wonderful Carmel kids who were acting out the story of the lost sheep. Do you remember? And we had a wonderful shepherdess called Kay. She was brilliant. And one of the verses says that the shepherd knows his sheep by name. Now, can you remember the name of some of your sheep, Kay? Yeah, there was Barbara. Oh, Lambert was the one that went missing. He was the one that decided to go off once. Lambert, yeah. And God knows our names. He knows us, just like the shepherd knows his sheep. And I remember, I think I've shared this story before, but a couple of years ago, Sue and I were on holiday. Do you remember it well, Sue? Yeah, so we decided on this beautiful day to go just for a little walk to get a coffee, which we thought was 10 minutes away. 4 hours later, we were lost in the middle of this field, absolutely no idea where we were, not in the right attire at all. We didn't have a drink. It was a scorching hot day. I think we had flip-flops on. And we were just stuck. And then all of a sudden in the distance, we saw this figure and it's like, oh, there's somebody there, they'll be able to help us. And as this figure got nearer, we realised we were on a quad bike and it was a shepherdess, just like Kay. A shepherdess. And she was actually looking for a lost sheep, wasn't she? And we were just amazed because there were sheep all around, thinking, how does she know that one's missing? And that just sort of illustrates the story really well. Anyway, she wasn't giving us a lift on a bike, was she? She was more interested in the sheep than us mere humans. And later on, we did see her with a flock guiding them in. So we presume she found a sheep. And we did eventually find our way home, didn't we? So, slide 7. So the verses I'm focusing on today are the rest of verse 5 and verse 6. So, verse 5, the next part says, you anoint my head with oil. So King David, who wrote Psalm 23, was a shepherd boy before he was a king. So the illustrations and the analogies he uses in this psalm are from his personal experience as a shepherd king. And the oil was used for protection. So you can see there the shepherd or the farmer pouring oil over the head of the sheep. And that is to protect them from the pesky flies and insects that can come and really irritate them. I know I was brought up, my mum has horses, and I remember in the summer the flies that used to irritate the horses, horse flies were horrible, and it must be the same for the sheep. And this oil sort of repels the insects and the flies and, you know, makes the sheep feel calm. And also the oil was used for any wounds, if they'd caught themselves, snagged themselves anywhere, they used to put this oil on. And it was a healing balm as well. And also the oil was used as part of hospitality. So in ancient Middle Eastern culture, hosts would pour cooling fragrance oil on the heads of their special guests as a sign of respect, welcome, and great honour. So the spiritual symbolism of this is that the oil represents God's deep comfort, healing and blessing, and the daily renewal of the Holy Spirit in a believer. So we as Christians need the Holy Spirit daily to help us with the irritations of life. Oh, one other thing I missed out was that the oil was also used for the rams because they used to butt heads and, you know, really go for each other. And if they had this oil on, it'd make them slip off, you know, so they couldn't do any damage. And I thought, how often do we butt heads together? And that's where we need that Holy Spirit to help us. We have disagreements. We'll have things that we, you know, we won't agree on. But it's how that Holy Spirit can just help us and be gracious and see somebody else's perspective sometimes. So, the Holy Spirit can help us with that. And then the next part of the verse says, my cup runs over, my cup overflows. And the overflowing cup was also a powerful symbol in the days of David. So I found this very interesting, something I might use at my house. So the host... Hosts in ancient East used it to send a message to the guests. So if they had a cup and they kept filling it and it was overflowing, it meant the host was enjoying your company and they wanted you to stay. If your cup went dry, they wanted you to go. It was game over. So if you come to my house and I don't fill your cup up, it's time to go. So my cup runs over, it means I have more than enough for my needs, which takes us back to verse 1, doesn't it? I lack for nothing, I have everything I need. John 10:10 says, the thief comes only to steal, kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it more abundantly. So he doesn't just want us to have life, he wants us to have life in abundance. And in Christ we can have overflowing joy, overflowing love and overflowing peace, an abundance of everything, not just a little bit, overflowing. How blessed are we? And then on to the final verse. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So the first word is surely. So not maybe, not possibly, or there's a good chance it'll happen. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me. So whether we deserve it or not, it's a promise from God. And then I love the word follow. I love this visual image of God's goodness following us. It says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Some versions say his goodness will pursue me. Others say it will chase after me. And I just love that image of God's blessings following us and chasing us. And we talk about special verses. And this one is the one, I think, that was a revelation to me as a child. I can remember sitting in the room back there, which is now the cafe office, in my Sunday school class. And my teacher was Jeff Green. Some of you will remember Jeff. And I can remember him reading out this last bit of the verse. We'd all learnt it. And telling me that I was going to live in heaven forever. And I can remember sitting there and this big beaming smile coming on my face thinking, wow, that's amazing. I didn't really understand it all. But just to think that I was going to live forever was an amazing thing for me. And it's an amazing thing for us as adults to know that we're going to spend eternity with Jesus. One of my favourite songs during lockdown was called The Goodness of God. And I've got the lyrics here on the screen now, if you can see them. They're a bit small, aren't they? But this could have been my own personal song or prayer. And particularly during lockdown, it was a very uncertain time for people, wasn't it? And like we've just been singing now about trusting God, We were trusting God. But I just love the words of this. I love you, Lord, for your mercy never fails me. All my days have been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. You know, it's like my prayer that. And then the next part of it says, just what we've been talking about, your goodness is running after. It's running after me. With my life laid down, I've surrendered now. I give you everything because your goodness is running after me. Just love that. And we are going to sing that at the end, aren't we? Yeah. So how often do we take time to stop and reflect on God's goodness and blessings in our life? It's a good thing to do. And I can remember when we got our foster children, which was 2012, Gabby, Kane and Leah, they came to us on the 14th of December, 2012. And every year on the 14th of December, we made that a special day, special anniversary. And what we used to do was reflect back on the year. So they had memory boxes, and during the year, as we did different things, if we went to the cinema or we went out for a day, or if they got a certificate from school, we went on holiday, we had photos taken, we'd put them all in this memory box. And then on the 14th of December, we used to look back at what we'd done during the year, and they would share the highlights of the year. And it was good to remember. Sometimes it's good to just stop and think. And then Mark and I, it's something we've always done as a couple. And a lot of people do it on New Year's Eve, don't they? They look back at the year and then look forward to the coming year. But it's good to stop and thank God for the blessings that we receive each day. That sometimes we don't want to take them for granted. We want to just be thankful when we wake up and we take our breath. You know, that's something to be thankful for each new day, for our family, for our friends. It's good to give thanks, and it's good to remember the blessings. So another version that I've been reading of the 23rd Psalm is in the Message, which is the next one, Jed, please. And it says, my God, my shepherd, I don't need a thing. You have bedded me down in lush meadows. You find me quiet pools to drink from. True to your word, you let me catch my breath and send me in the right direction. Even when the way goes through Death Valley, I'm not afraid when you walk at my side. Your trusty shepherd's crook makes me feel secure. You serve me a six-course dinner right in front of my enemies. You revive my drooping head, and my cup brims with blessing. Your beauty and love chase after me every day of my life. I'm back home in the house of God for the rest of my life. I love that. Psalm 23 is truly timeless. It's a psalm to memorize, as I've said already, tuck in our hearts and keep it, return to it whenever we feel distant from God, afraid or restless. Sheep trust their shepherd to lead and help them. They don't look too far ahead. Their only concern is the next step. And like sheep, our worries make us restless. When God is our shepherd, we trust him to handle worries, direct each step, and lead us to peace and rest. So a few questions for you this morning. Where are you this morning? Are you restless, worried? Which side of the fence are you on? Are you in a green pasture? Or are you in a valley this morning? Or on the wasteland? And who is your shepherd? Is it God or the many distractions and idols of this world? Possessions, finances, relationships, the online world, health. Who is leading, guiding and dictating each day for you? Some food for thought there. So I thought we'd finish by standing, if you're able, and let's read Psalm 23 together and make it our prayer this morning. If you can see it, a bit small, isn't it? It's the original one, okay? So the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He receives the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You lay a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Thank you. Do you want that?